You are listening to Retro TV, a podcast about the wonderful world of nearly forgotten television.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Take a step that is new.
Take a step that is new.
We've a lovable space that needs your face. Three's company too. You'll see that love is a bomb again. Laughter is calling for you. Down at our rendezvous.
Hello and welcome to Retro TV. I wish this was our theme song.
Thank you. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I have Leah on today. How are you doing, Leah?
Hi there, Mark. Great. Thank you.
Of course, we're covering another episode. We're 6 years in the future from our last covering of Three's Company. We are in season 6, episode 23, I believe.
Right.
And this originally aired... actually, it aired almost exactly 5 years to the introduction to the series on March 23rd, 1982. Of course, I believe the other one was March 15th, 1977.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
That's wild. 5 years have gone by. And this show
and
is...
Got,
I'm sorry.
You know, go ahead. Yeah, we've got a new cast of characters.
We have a lot
of
people.
Some of our originals are gone. Yeah,
we have people who... We will remember for our entire lives, and we just love some of these people. Like we, we have the Larry character, which is the legendary creepy neighbor next door.
He's such a sleazeball.
He's
and
awesome.
When I was a kid, I loved him.
Played by the, hilarious Richard Klein. And we have, Don Knotts, who brings the 1960s comedy to us, right?
Yes.
Playing Furley. I mean, Furley
yeah.
is legendary to me. I mean,
oh,
Ralph
absolutely.
Furley,
I love him way over the Ropers. His comedy and just his facial expressions. He's the best.
And we have Priscilla Barnes playing Terry Alden, who will be, I think, if we count Eleanor, she will be the fourth roommate with Joyce DeWitt. So
right.
Very interesting. You know, it's a very, the show has really grown, and very rarely can we talk about the introduction of characters and having it work and, you know, losing beloved characters and having it work. More recently, I think I brought up The Office last time. You know, you have the Michael Scott character leaving The Office. Somehow the show still maintained its fan base. And that's recently, but with this, I mean, we lose Suzanne Summers, who was, I think, a tremendous part of the success of Three's Company.
Absolutely.
Now, we also, in the opening credits, we do see a character that named we see Cindy Snow in the opening credits, played by Jenilee Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jenilee Harrison was, I believe, the character was the cousin of Cindy, right?
Correct. Yep. And she played in the first three episodes while Suzanne Summer of season five. Season six, when Suzanne Summers was negotiating her contract.
And so do you remember
she was kind of the fill-in.
Do you remember the Suzanne Summers episodes where I believe these were the negotiating contract episodes where she was away and they would call her on the phone? It would be a split screen. I don't know if you remember that. What they would do.
Barely, but I did read about it last night, but no, I barely remember those. Yeah. And I did read that they had to write two separate scripts, the ones with Chrissy and the ones without Chrissy. And a lot of those lines ended up going to Don Knotts.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Don Knotts doing the Cindy character. It's kind of hilarious. Who else can pull it off?
Yeah.
But, you know, I remember reading somewhere as a kid that Cindy would, her, Suzanne Summers would record all of her shots in like an hour, and then they would just splice it into the show.
Yeah. Yeah. She was not allowed to be on set. Oh, there was just, there was too many issues going on, and she ended up going on a bunch of talk shows and, trashing the show, and she was eventually fired. I think it was maybe fourth or fifth episode in.
Now, do you have a favorite, roommate? I, you know, not Jack, or, you know.
I can't then. Okay, but it's Jack. I'm sorry. Oh, oh, the
no,
girl.
No, I mean like a replacement one.
Oh, the replacements? You know what? I do like the Terry character. I like that she is smart and witty. She's a nurse.
Yeah.
So I do like seeing that aspect, because in the 70s, there was a lot of, oh, there's the dumb blondes, you know, throw her the one-liner stupid yeah. jokes. And she was a little, she had a little more class, and I liked her.
I also think that her overall look is very different than the other characters. You know, we always had the overly cute, bubbly beach girl, you know?
Yes.
And she's kind of almost like model-y. You know, she's one of these women, she's a little bit more glamorous, I guess, is the best way. And
yes.
I don't know. I just think she doesn't fit in that way, but I think she's funny. I think she mm-hmm. can deliver. Maybe that's why they chose her, is that she can actually act, you know. She had a pretty big career, Priscilla Barnes. She's been in a million things. Like you were talking before, she has stuff that is currently out. I mean, Jane the Virgin, which was a relatively well-received show. She was in 41 episodes of that. She's in something right now, Un Plan Simple. I don't know if that's supposed to be Spanish. But she's constantly working, you know, so that's pretty awesome. Yeah. She also did a lot of Love Boat, and we love Love Boat.
Which everybody did in the 70s. Every actor was on the Love Boat.
Jenna Lee Harrison. She was also on the Love Boat five times. She was also in 70 episodes of Dallas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
The last thing she did was in 2002. She played in a TV movie called The Power. But she also had a little stint on That 70s Show, like one episode. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's interesting to see where these careers go, and kind of like where they end up. She also did a couple Fantasy Island. I always liked Cindy. There was something, but she was like the Suzanne Summers character turned way up. She was really, really dumb. To the point where it was kind of insulting.
I think they gave her the backwoods kind of dumb, where
yeah.
the country girl meets city life, and yeah.
But Don Knotts is always a welcome addition. I think that the introduction of Don Knotts and his kind of comedy is so funny. His outfits are always amazing. The clothing in general you were talking about.
Oh my gosh, they're so funny.
But here,
like you would think he would be the gay character, because his outfits are so flamboyant.
You know, he's kind of like Larry grown up, you know?
He is. That is future Larry.
Future Larry. I don't think they ever married Larry off. I'm not really sure about that. But here we go. We're going to have the setup to the episode.
Television.
What? Television?
Yeah, Mike O'Connell came and had lunch at Angelino's today.
You mean that guy who's the host of that show, LA Today?
That's right. He went crazy over the food, and he asked me to come on his show and give a cooking demonstration.
So Jack is going to go on the show, and I totally forgot about Angelino's and his job there. Do you remember this as being a big part of the show?
No.
I really,
and it might have been. I really wish Three's Company was streaming on a service where I can just watch any episode I want to, because I would love to really relive all these characters and their journey.
They're great characters.
Yeah.
And so there's Mr. Angelino. And Mr. Angelino creeped me out even when I was a kid. There was just something about the guy. I was just like, what is this guy's deal? And watching this episode, it brought it all back. I'm like, oh, I don't like this guy. something about him I still don't like. They really did, even though they were criticized right away for all of their innuendos and their sexy jokes and stuff like that. By the way, that is the same couch from 6 years ago. I just looked at that. Wow.
Oh, was it? The decor changed, though. Everything is very orange and yellow now, which I don't think it was at the beginning.
I hate it. I hate it so much. Everything looks dirty.
It's pretty awful. They still have that wicker bookshelf, though, with all the ferns.
Oh, my God. Those are all plastic ferns. They have to be, right? Nobody's watering that.
No, they're just dusting them off.
Yeah, barely. So here we go. We're going to trigger some people now in 1982.
What? Are you kidding? Of course I'll
do. Yeah, Terry. What about you, Janet?
Oh, he's asking them if he can have them come on as the sexy assistants.
Right.
I don't know. I've never done anything like this before.
You girls always say that.
Jack.
Come on, say yes.
Oh, come on, please. Yes.
On you.
Well, what do you think you're going to want us to do?
Well, let's see. I'll come out first.
Janet has the, I'm trying to remember the
Ziggy Stardust.
It's kind of Ziggy Stardust. Oh no, her, hair. It's,
oh, the hair is Pat Benatar.
I was going to say Joan Jett, but I think it might be the mix of the two.
Oh, why do I get those two? And I love Joan Jett. Why did I do that, Joan? I'm sorry. Yes, I love you.
But
the Joan Jett.
It is so Joan Jett, but I think Joan Jett even had a more feminine haircut back then. It's just, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I never liked Janet's hair. I think in the first episode, I liked her hair more.
Oh, I did too, because it was feathery and really floofy.
Yeah, it was floofy. Is that a word?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's the 70s where I don't think you're allowed to use that outside of 1977. So Jack is practicing and he's going to take the advice from somebody who's never been on television, which is amazing.
Today I'll be making poached salmon in aspic. I chose poached salmon.
Hold it. You're not going to stand up there and read, are you?
Well, I want to make sure I don't leave anything out.
Buddy, you're going to lose your audience.
Well, I got to...
Come on, you don't need this.
By the way, poached salmon in aspic, it just sounds so gross to me.
It does sound disgusting.
Is aspic is gelatin. And I'm picturing one of those, you've seen these pictures that float around of creepy molds.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm picturing too. I that can't be right though. But
it does have gelatin in it though. I'm going to look up a picture of salmon served with aspic.
Okay.
Ugh, I'm going to throw up.
Go ahead.
No, please.
Good morning.
No,
my name is
Jack.
You look at the camera. Camera? There is a camera in front of you. My name
don't
is Jack.
Don't forget there's going to be a microphone on top of it, you know, above you.
My name is
Jack.
Look at the microphone.
Look at the camera.
My name is
Jack. Don't be so stiff. Listen up.
So he's just giving the worst advice ever. It's so funny.
He's making Jack lose his confidence, which Jack has all the confidence in the world for everything, and he's second guessing himself now.
I did find a recipe for salmon tomato aspic, and I gotta say it's exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, yeah, it sounds really gross.
And they have a beautiful close-up photo of it, and I'm like, I don't want it. No, thank you. I'll send this back, please. Waiter, I'll have the nacho platter instead. I'm going to post the photo, but if you could just imagine salmon that is covered in a gelatin with sliced green olives with the pimento in there and sliced hard-boiled eggs.
Oh my gosh.
And this is on
Food and Wine. One of those weird 70s dishes.
But this looks modern, so... You know, I don't mind Jell-O, but I like it as a dessert, people.
That's right. That's how it should be.
I just love it. You know, he sets up his notes. He calls them crib sheets. It's one of those.
Yeah.
Did you ever use the word crib sheets?
No, I think it was cliff notes or.
I called it cliff notes or cheat sheets.
The cheat sheets, yeah, yeah.
But people did call them crib notes, or crib notes. I'm not really sure, but. That seems like a 1950s type thing to say. So maybe, that's dating Larry or something. So he's putting all of his notes like in the parsley. He's putting it in his hat and he's putting it everywhere. And it's just ridiculous. He knows the stuff, you know, it's like when you over prepare for something and all of a sudden you're like, I can't find my notes, but it's like, you know, what's on there. already.
Yeah.
Kind of like how my first podcasts were, you know? Like I'm constantly...
Oh, and I still do it. I'm still doing it now. I'm flipping through my stuff. It's like, oh, I have something to say. Where is it? Where'd it go?
It's on your head.
I'm playing it by ear.
It's
okay,
a post-it on your head, Leah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's on Janet's ass.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, honestly, I wish we can translate that to audio, but it's just... I thought it was really funny. Mr. Angelino is on the show. This is like the worst morning show of all time, right? It is so not. I mean, I'm thinking that in 1982, maybe morning shows were this bad. It's possible. So
they might have been.
Here's Mr. Angelino talking on the talk show with the host.
And we happen to have a great chef, the best young chef in town.
I don't like this guy, I'm telling you. I just want to add that in again.
As a matter of fact, this young man is someone that I personally discovered and trained. His name is Jack Tripper.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's bring that visiting chef out here. Let's meet and greet Jack Tripper.
This host has so much jewelry on. I don't know if he knows. He has all these gold bracelets, gold watch, the pinky rings. This guy drives a very big Cadillac. I'm guaranteeing it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And his slacks are tight.
Or rather, everybody's pants are so tight.
They're fitted. Oh,
yes.
My God. I picture Chris Hassler in the corner and a little keyboard. Like big, like, you know, Elton John glasses or something. Nice. The music is so bad. It's like somebody's grandma playing like the air organ.
Good morning. I'm Jack Tripper.
He takes his hat off and the post-it or his note is affixed to his forehead. This kitchen that they made, this set, has the worst wallpaper I've ever seen in my life. I'm wondering if they set, if this was an actual set for a kitchen, or you think they just threw this together?
I think they just threw it together.
Yeah. I mean, they have double ovens.
I really hope this was not a real set.
Oof. Like, but you know, it's, they have the two double ovens, which I just thought, wow, that's a nice touch. You know, they didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
And above it, they have these very phallic looking, copper pans. I thought it was kind of funny. Not sure what's going on there. I think we'll have to wait for the HD version to see what's going on up there. And so, yeah, we hear the audience going nuts for this, right?
Oh, they are. It's great.
And you know what? He deserves all the laughs because it's, I don't know, John Ritter's just awesome in this character. I love him so much. And I think you do too. And it's just a pleasure to watch these shows. My son would not watch them with me, but I really regretted not pushing him to watch them with me last night.
I know. I tried to get mine to as well, but he was tired. And it's like, I really think he would have liked the Jack character.
It's like there's semi-dirty jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
But here we go. We're going to, the ladies are introduced. I personally think that Terry is just made me laugh so much.
My name is Jack Tripper, and today I'll be making poached salmon in aspic. But before I begin, I would like you to meet my two beautiful assistants, Janet Wood and Terry Alden.
And it's funny too because, all right, do you want to explain what's going on? Like when they come out, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, so they're a nervous wreck out there, and Terry just has this smile on her face, and it's frozen, and she's staring into the camera like a deer in the headlights.
It's like a headshot.
Will not move. Yeah, yeah.
Janet
is afraid of the camera and is hiding behind Jack, doesn't want to come out.
She has her head down, and she's waving. It's like a little kid like in a third grade play or something.
Yes.
Terry here is a nurse. I thought she might come in handy in case I have to doctor some sauces.
So they're just like robotic at this point. You know, Janet's hiding behind Jack and Terry's just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Really funny. I think this might happen to me if I were to get in front of a stage or on television. Maybe not. I don't know. I've definitely had moments like this in my life. When I go to, you know, if I go to speak to somebody or something like that, but I'll snap out of it relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Stage fright's a real thing, I think. But, so here we go. Jack, according to your notes, Jack gets something right according to his boss.
Salmon.
Right.
Right.
Is there any more majestic sight than your poached salmon?
And it's a close-up of Terry, and she's just... She doesn't blink.
Maybe not.
Its tender pink meat will melt in your mouth if you remember to poach it over a slow flame for no more than 2 hours.
It's so funny. I didn't notice this the first time, but Janet is literally hiding and then peeking out at the audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I didn't catch that the first time. Like, she's like really petrified of all of this.
Yeah. And she's going like in fast motion and then she'll go in slow motion and she's completely lost. She has no idea what to do.
Yeah. And it is kind of funny, but, here we go. This was the clip I meant to play before.
I'm sorry, Jack, but your time's about up. No, I'd love to let you finish, but I don't think your recipe would conform to the building code. We'll be back after this commercial.
Well, the bottom line is his post-it ended up on Janet's butt, and he's following her around trying to read it off her butt.
Yeah.
And they go, what are the measurements? And, you know, of course, in Three's Company fashion, and I think this is the crux of Three's Company. It's always about taking things out of context.
Oh, it is. It's always mishaps and misunderstandings. That's the basis of Three's Company.
And, you know, we've seen it a million times. Like, it'll be Jack and Janet in the bathroom trying to pull something that's stuck in the wall. And they're saying things like, pull it harder, harder, you know, and it's like these things taken by Furley out in the living room is listening to it. And it's like, what's going on in there?
But it never gets old, though. That's the best part. That's what's brilliant about this show. It's the same jokes pretty much repeated, but it's still fresh and it's hilarious.
I disagree. I think it gets old, but they somehow make it so that it doesn't. I think with other people, maybe other writers, maybe a different scenario, it doesn't work so well. But for whatever reason, John Ritter and company were able to do it right. But we've seen this tried in other scenarios, and I don't know. A lot of these things, it's just very difficult to pull off. And everybody saw him on TV. He's devastated, fired from his job because he really screwed up on live TV. And here they are. They're kind of the aftermath of being on television.
Don't be ridiculous. Look, nobody even saw you.
Yeah, nobody watches a local show like that.
Yeah, well, maybe you're right.
Yeah, of course I'm right.
Hi.
Jack, you still in town?
What? Boy, you got more guts than I have. I would have gone straight from that TV show to Tahiti.
That's awesome. His own mother calls to laugh at him.
That part cracked me up, and the mother was nonstop laughing at him over the phone.
Yeah, here it is.
Oh, a few losers at the Regal Beagle. So what?
Hello? Oh, hi, Mom. What's doing in San Diego?
That's got a twist. Oh, man.
It's so funny. I would do that to my son, too, because that was just hilarious. Just call and laugh at him.
So he goes back to Angelino's to clean out his stuff. He's going to pick it up. And we get a new set, and we get to see Angelino's pretty fancy-looking little place right here. And Mr. Angelino is, I guess he's the maitre d'. He doesn't want to hire anybody to answer phones, so... The owner is answering the phones.
Hello? No, I'm sorry, but we're all booked up for the rest of the week. Yes, it seemed quite a lot of people watched that show and loved the chef. Yeah.
So, actually, I'm going to play this a little bit. I think it's worth playing. What a sleazeball Angelino is.
Pepper!
Don't worry, I'm just going to clear out my locker.
You really made a mess of things this morning, didn't you?
Yeah, I know.
Wait! Everybody makes mistakes. Even me. I'm probably making a big mistake right now.
Huh?
But if you really do want to come back...
Oh, I do, I do, I do.
At a $25 pay cut, well, I'll take a chance.
Only a $25 pay cut? Oh, Mr. Angelino, you're too kind.
Well, you know me. Me and my big soft heart.
So, Jack, of course, is desperate to... He thinks his career's over. Poor guy. He walks into the dining hall. Mr. Angelino says, go to the servants' entrance. And he walks in, and there are four tables. And he walks in like he's a celebrity.
Mr. Tripper, I saw you on TV this morning. You were wonderful.
Really? I drove all the way from Encino just hoping to meet you. You were so funny.
Thank you very much.
So he, of course, turns it to Angelino and turns his mishap to a $25 raise and every other weekend off. Good for Jack.
I know. It worked out for him.
Of course, he's still slave to Angelino.
Yeah, which he seems to be like the typical boss, proprocheted boss in the 80s, you know, or in the 70s, excuse me. Kind of like Sprocket on the Jetsons or, you know, it's always like the mean, grouchy boss.
It's weird that he has a beard. I don't know. Maybe that's what kind of made me think like he's not like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like his beard either. So I don't like this guy, Leah. I don't know if I mentioned that yet.
I don't know.
So Jack gets his job back, and here we are back at the apartment. And Jack is wearing one of his famous brown vests.
Oh, it's got to be in the Smithsonian. It's famous, yeah.
This particular outfit is really interesting. I also want to mention that in the last episode we did, he was wearing bell bottoms in the tub.
They were jeans. Yeah, jean bell bottoms.
I don't know if he always wore bell bottoms though. I mean, by 82, bell bottoms have been phased out. But
yeah,
what?
No, go ahead. You're good.
Well, I not only got my job back, but Mr. Angelino gave me a raise as well.
That's wonderful, Jack. Congratulations.
That doorbell, by the way, that came back. Doom, doom, doom.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, I feel great.
Tell me the part about the raise as well.
No, I'm walking to the restaurant.
Hi, yes.
Hi, Dan.
And this is something that would be adopted over time, like the finalizing of the episode. It's almost like at the end of Davy and Goliath, it's like, well, what'd you learn from Jesus, Davy? And it's kind of like the resolution, a last gag, which I miss this kind of stuff on TV shows. Sometimes you get this on Little House.
Yeah, I was really happy that the credits didn't roll after he got his job back, but we had a little extra scene here back at the house.
I caught you on that TV show.
Let's just forget about that, Mr. Furry.
I don't blame you. But none of that would have happened if you'd have used me as your assistant. You know, a real veteran of the theater.
You were in the theater?
Yeah, back in the fourth grade, we put on this little piece about Pilgrim's Landing at Plymouth Rock. I played the title role.
Miles Standish?
Plymouth Rock.
You played a rock?
Yeah. Wasn't easy. I had to lie there perfectly still and not move a muscle.
That's very
That's hard to do, you know. But I was doing it just great till that stupid Delroy Wilkins came ashore and stepped on me.
How? I'll bet that hurt.
Not near as much as when he planted the flag.
So this is like classic Don Knotts, like, you know, zingers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Might even be off script.
Yeah, I mean, I bet you he's like, well, I have a joke, I'm going to tell it. We have 30 seconds. Like we can.
Yeah.
But Don Knotts was so big when I was a kid, when we were kids. I remember he was on Scooby-Doo. I think this is really where he found a lot of success. From Three's Company.
Mm-hmm. We got to see him every week. I mean, besides the Andy Griffith Show, you know, back in late 50s, 60s, I believe.
But yeah, but I don't even recall ever watching, is it Mayberry or Andy Griffith Show?
Yeah. I think there was Andy Griffith, and then there was Mayberry RFD later on.
I don't remember any of that being in syndication when I was a kid, or at least I never watched it. I knew Don Knotts from this. Oh, really? All right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I knew him from that. It was during the Leave It to Beaver and, you know, My Three Sons kind of thing. But no, this is where I think he, for us, he's definitely shines for, in Three's Company.
Yeah. Don Knotts, he's one of those guys who had a second wind in the like 70s and 80s. And classic Furley, you know, everything. One of my favorite things that he does in other episodes is when he's threatened to some point, he does the karate hand.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I do remember that.
How could you forget it? He makes a face.
I'm going to have to go back to this show and watch some more episodes.
Yeah, me too. I hope that streaming services figure out whatever problem that they have with getting the rights to it, because I think that this show would absolutely find a new life,
It really would. I mean, the funny 1970s sex jokes and the clothes, the outfits and everything. We love all that stuff.
The show was a lot like Friends in the sense where
it is.
It was nothing. Like, what was each episode was about what the episode was about. There really wasn't much linear universe, like Little House in the Prairie, you know. You know, you can hear Leah a lot on Walnut Grovecast, which is another podcast I do. And there's what I refer to as the Little House in the Prairie universe. And, you know, there's a certain level of, you know, if Mary goes blind, she remains blind, you know. With this, you know, aside from swapping out the cast members, there's really not much of a connection. I mean, we know Jack is a chef. We know that nosy neighbor, but there's no story. Like, if Jack is dating a girl very often, it doesn't continue into the next episode.
Right. And it's cool. You could just spin the wheel and pick any episode and you don't have to know backstory or anything like that. You're just going to enjoy the episode and have a good laugh and watch some girls wear short shorts.
Very fitted clothing.
Love it.
And you know, that's another thing I have to say is Terry is extremely slim to the point where I'm like, these poor women, I say poor women because I think that there was this thing in the late 70s and 80s with, and there's a wonderful book called The Beauty Myth. And it's really about this unrealistic goal that was pushed upon people because of media and the expectations, and you know, it's, you can't be this, I don't know. It just seems to me that they all look beautiful and are all great and everything. It just seems to be a certain very, very high standard, that seems, I would imagine, to be almost unattainable.
Right. Yeah. And I do know about that. So for the past few months, I've been binging The Facts of Life.
I thought you were going to say Food.
No. Oh, no. That's me always. Yeah.
It's good for you, Leah.
Especially. Oh, I know, right? No, The Facts of Life. And that was one of the standards. Like, that first season, those girls are they're like, what, 12 to 14 at the time. And they're oversexed. And they're so skinny. And there was seasons where the girls had to get on the scale before shooting. Every week they had to hit a certain weight. And the standards were just so awful back then.
I remember in the tabloids they touched upon The Facts of Life's girls. And it was really the Blair character. I don't remember her real name. And
Lisa Bachel. And she naturally bloomed into a woman. You know, we get curvy and
she turned into a voluptuous girl, a woman. Mm-hmm. And like, it's for some people are wavy and some people aren't wavy. And you know, I don't know. But there was another girl on there that I think definitely publicized her weight issues. I don't remember. I remember Tootie. It's about it. And yeah, I don't.
Natalie.
Yeah, Natalie was the character.
Yeah,
and
Mindy
she
Cohn.
Was somebody who. Yeah, Mindy Cohn. She was dragged through the tabloids constantly for her weight, and it just it's unfair.
Oh, it was horrible. They were so abusive to those girls back then.
And yeah, I imagine like this whole weighing of them is kind of crazy, you know. But you know, you go on a set, there's craft services, there's all this. It's the fault of the studios that feeding these kids.
Right.
Just give them lettuce; they'll be fine. No,
they'll be fine.
But you know, that's another thing I would like to do in the future. If you want to cover the facts of life, or I do always love this—the family tree of shows, the. You know, where it starts from and then where it expands to, of course, Facts of Life started with Different Strokes, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Is that actually a connection? Was it that Charlotte Ray?
Yeah, Mrs. Garrett. Yeah, she was the housekeeper for the Drummonds. And then she did the spinoff.
Tootie! Yeah. Willis! I don't know. But yeah, I used to watch those shows. I don't really remember them. I don't know if they hold up well. I remember there was one episode where Joe made her own pizza, and then she decided to get cheap with the ingredients. I don't know. It was like, I can't believe that it was a whole episode. Like,
The episodes were silly, but they were so much fun. And I related to them in the early 80s, and watching them now, I thought they kind of held up. Some of it was like ridiculous and the storylines were really goofy, but I loved that show.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to look into it and check it out again. I always like the theme song. Great theme song.
But, oh, yeah. Very catchy. Sticks in your head for days.
Definitely check us out next time. Visit us on Retro TV, one word, on Facebook.com. I think you've heard of Facebook. And if you like this podcast, send us a subscription click, whatever that means. And leave a review. Why not? You're there.
That would be great. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Retro TV. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review. See ya next time.